Good morning, everyone. So good to see you in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray that each of us will have special visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, speaking to you and speaking to me in our heart, that we may all experience God's presence as we hear His word. When President Teddy Roosevelt was touring Oklahoma, he drove by to see his old friend, Quanah Parker, chief of the Comanches, who lived 12 miles from Fort Sill. With pride, Parker showed Teddy the house he lived in, the white man's clothes he wore, and his children who attended the white man's school. "See here, Chief," Teddy said. "Why don't you set your people a still better example of obeying the laws of the land and the customs of the whites? Though a white man has only one wife, and here you are living with five wives. Why don't you give up four of them and remain faithful to the fifth? Then you'd really be living as the white man lives." Parker considered the proposition. "You are my great white father," he said, "and I will do as you wish on one condition. You pick out the one I am to live with, and then you go tell the other four." It is easier said than done. This famous proverb is not difficult to understand, for we all know about the human tendency to say things without committing to follow-ups, simply because following-ups takes a lot of responsibilities and labor. Sometimes people say one thing, but what they do is entirely different for the same reason. God does not have this imperfection. What He says, He does without fail. The Old Testament prophecies told that God had a plan to send the Messiah for salvation. God did send the Messiah to fulfill all His promises. God's words has integrity and is trustworthy. The problem is that not all Christians have complete trust in the Bible, not to mention non-believers. Not every Christian believes 100% of what is in the Bible. This morning, we will reflect upon the advent of God's Word and the indwelling of Christ in our personal lives. The Gallup, a research firm, researched how Christians view and believe the Bible. The following are quotes from Gallup.com. "A record low 20% of the American public now say the Bible is the literal word of God." Only 20%. Down from 24% the last time the question was asked in 2017. And half of what it was at its high point in 1980 and 1984. So, you know, about like 40 years, the Bible believers in American public has been reduced to half. What a drastic decrease. Meanwhile, a new high of 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legend, history, and moral precepts recorded by men. This marks the first time significantly more Americans have viewed the Bible as not divinely inspired than as the literal word of God. So what is this percentage who believe that the Bible is not divinely inspired? 49%, which is the largest group. In my opinion, this is the largest percentage in the American history. How about just among the Christians? The majority of Christians, that is 58%, say the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's nice. But not everything in it is to be taken literally. While 25% say it should be interpreted literally, and 16% say it is an ancient book of fables. More specifically, 30% of Protestants, that's us, say that the Bible is literally true. 30%. What happened to the 70%? Compared with the 15% of Catholics, almost two-thirds of Catholics choose the alternative that the Bible is the inspired word of God, but every word should not be taken literally. And I guess Catholics are more liberal than us Protestants in this regard. I am saddened by three facts: the surprisingly low percentage of Bible believers, the downtrend of Bible believers, and the decline of Christianity that accompanies it. I mean, this is not surprising. You know, there's less people who believe in the Bible. The church is decreasing at the same time. There's no reason for them to come to church if they don't believe in the Bible. Simple as that. If the Bible is partially true, it simply loses its value in containing the truth and cannot serve as the foundation for the Christian faith. Is the Bible what the majority think it is? Absolutely not. The majority of people may choose to walk on the wide path of abandoning the Bible and its teachings, but a few remnants of the Bible believers still be found on the narrow path. Not an iota of the Bible will be changed, and the Bible will continue to show those who believe the way, teach them the truth, and lead them to life until the end of time. Despite many dismissing the Old Testament as a collection of legend or fairy tale, Tovia Luskin believed in what was written in the Old Testament, pondered on geological word in it, and found oil wells in Israel according to the biblical descriptions. Luskin was born in the former Soviet Union and studied geology before immigrating to Canada, which had a large energy industry. From there, he moved to Australia and worked for an oil company. He used to be a secular Jew but became religious after he came to Australia. He was reading Deuteronomy 33, in which Moses blessed the 12 tribes before he died. You know, chapter 34 is the last part of the Deuteronomy. So chapter 33 is the blessings of Moses upon 12 tribes, and then chapter 34, Moses died, right? Moses blessed the 12 tribes before he died, and before Israel entered Canaan. Luskin's eyes were fastened to Moses' blessing to the tribe of Joseph. Unlike Moses' blessing to other tribes, Moses began to bless the tribe of Joseph by saying, "May the Lord bless his land," in Deuteronomy 33:13. And in the verse 15, Moses said, "With the choicest gift of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of everlasting hills." what would be the choicest gift of the ancient mountain? I mean, what do they get out of the mountain? Right? I mean, they cannot farm up there, nor they have a lot of trees as the topography of the Israel is. Hardly any trees on top of the mountains. Fruitfulness of everlasting hills. This is it's not exactly easy to understand. But he saw the geological terms. The geological terms in the verse did not escape the eyes of Luskin. While he speculated what the choicest gift from ancient mountain would be, he found a hypothesis in the commentary of Rashi, a medieval Jewish sage, that the ancient mountains supposed that there were hills before the present landscape. I mean, Moses saw the ancient mountains, I'm sure, right? But he did not know the mountain he saw was not the exact the shape in all the times. There were another type of landscape, and then ancient mountain was formed after that. This convinced him of how the land of Joseph was formed in ancient times, and that the choicest gift would mean an underground oil reserve. He soon moved to Israel and founded a company called the Givat Olam, meaning everlasting hills, from that verse, to drill in northern Israel. The land belonged to the tribe of Joseph. Before Luskin, many believed the potential underground oil in Israel, as Israel is situated in the vicinity of the world's biggest oil productions. Finding underground oil is extremely difficult and costly. It costs millions of dollars. It requires many experts and highly advanced scientific equipment to survey land, and the survey takes a very long time. After careful surveys, many attempted to find oil in southern Israel, but were unsuccessful. However, Luskin began drilling in the north region, mainly on biblical guidance, and found many commercially profitable oil reserve. Luskin is now regarded as the father of oil production in Israel. Many people think that the Bible is ancient and is no longer applicable today. But Luskin proved that it speaks unchanging truth that transcend time. The ancient word is not dead, but alive. It speaks the truth that lasts forever. The word of God is materialized in our lives. It has the power to change you and me. John's gospel had a deeper understanding of the word of God and says that Jesus is the word of God. Jesus was the Word of God and was with God from the beginning and co-created the universe. That Word of God came down to dwell with us on Christmas. Therefore, Jesus is the physical manifestation of the Word of God. This part of John's Gospel can be challenging to understand, but think of the following. The four Gospels in the New Testament testify that Jesus had perfect knowledge of the Old Testament and lived to fulfill all the prophecies. Jesus was in complete agreement with the Old Testament and authenticated that the Old Testament was written all about him. There are no discrepancies between what the Old Testament said and what Jesus did and taught in the New Testament. The Old Testament and New Testament agree on all aspects that we do not see them as separate books. All in all, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus are in agreement with each other. Therefore, the entire Bible is the book of Jesus. People meet Jesus personally through the Bible. The presence of Jesus in the believer's heart becomes so real through the Bible. And Jesus speaks to people individually through the Bible. Jesus is the manifestation of God's Word. How the world views the Word of God today is not much different from when Jesus came on Christmas. John's Gospel says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world knew Him not. He came to His own home, but His own people received Him not. The Gallup research shows it. According to John's Gospel, disbelief in the Word of God means disbelief in Jesus. Our partial belief in the Word of God means our partial belief in Jesus. In other words, if we believe in Jesus 100%, we should believe in the Bible 100%. For there is no separation between Jesus and the Bible. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt on this earth. Jesus now dwells within us through the Bible and speaks to our hearts. I still vividly remember the Word of God that touched my heart so profoundly and subsequently led to the call into ministry during my spiritual formation as a teenager. God spoke to me through the verse in Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Yes, amen to you too, because that's what God says to each and every one of us. The verse rang in my heart and moved me profoundly, not just for a few months, but for a few years. It was the voice of Jesus to me. I heard Him speaking so tenderly with life-altering message about who I was and the purpose of my life. Well, problem was I struggled with that calling for the following several years. Jesus is the embodiment of God's Word, through which Jesus becomes alive in our personal lives, and we experience His indwelling presence and hear Him speak the voice of love to us. Amen.